Good to be back in the Lord's house today. Amen. Hey, pretty girls. As you well know, we had a wedding here yesterday, and I thank the Lord for that, the joining of two lives into one. And I appreciate Macy and Jake, and I appreciate Reggie and Kathy. Appreciate the church. Like I said already this morning, just backing them up with your prayers and support. The cross that's over here to my right and your left was left here on purpose because something that precious, something that important, I just couldn't pack it back into a closet. Amen. That's why I felt like we'll just leave it out, and I've left it out there. I preached a message some time ago here at the church about just nail it to the cross, and I'll give you the scripture reference on that. It was found in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, in verse number 14. The Bible said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So, my friends, this word stands against every one of us because our flesh is weak and we're just sinners by nature. But aren't you glad that we've got a Savior this morning that loves us so much that he would be willing to go to that old Roman-made cross and give his life a ransom for us? And that cross means something to me. So I said, let's just leave that thing up here. As we were taking down all the other decoration thing, I just couldn't stick the cross back up. So we're going to leave it up for a little bit. And if you've got something that you need to nail to the cross, because the handwriting of ordinances is contrary to you. You say, what kind of handwriting of ordinances? Listen, I've told you before, we spend way too much time telling people how bad they are, what kind of sinners they are. We just need to start loving on them a little bit more and show them the love of Christ. But if you're really wanting to know what the handwriting of ordinances that are contrary to you are, look over my left shoulder. There's a whole bunch of them right there. We're sinners. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So everything that God wrote that was just and holy and upright, until we got saved, Brother Tam, they wasn't part of us. I mean, our righteousness, according to the Scriptures, was filthy, even as filthy rags. If you've got a copy of God's Word this morning, and there's many places we're going to be, we'll start out in Genesis chapter number 3 this morning. And we'll be talking about the original sin just a little bit. But I want you to understand something, that everybody in here, we're all in that same boat. That boat called life, and we're all sinners by nature. It was inherent. It's given unto us. It was passed down to us by Adam. That Adamic nature, that blood lineage of Adam, is upon every single one of us. And apart from Jesus Christ being conceived of the Holy Spirit, being conceived of the Holy Ghost, there is nobody else in this world that doesn't have that same Adamic nature about them. That same blood lineage that was from Adam and Eve is in every one of us, and we're all sinners. You could find that if you were to look in the book of Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 12, wherefore as by one man's sin entered into the world, that being the sin of Adam, that death by sin, so that death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And that doesn't leave anybody out. It's every single one of us. We're sinners by nature. But aren't you glad that we've got a Savior this morning? Aren't you glad that we don't have to die and go to a devil's hell? Aren't you glad that there was a loving God that loved us so much that he would send his only begotten Son to the cross, and that Son would go willingly to that cross? If you'll remember the prayer at Gethsemane, his garden. Brother Vroom, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, Father, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then he drank of that cup, and he went to that cross willingly, bled, suffered, and died, and give his life that we might have life. Not just have it, but have it more abundantly and have it eternally. My goodness, what a Savior we've got this morning. I would invite you to stand in reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll be in the third chapter of the book of Genesis just for a few minutes. And like I said, we're going to go all over the Scriptures this morning. That's just seem like that's what God's got in plan for us. But I made a reference here just the other day about the rapture. I was preaching a message about the calling away of the saints of God and how that the Lord is going to come back and get us. And he's going to, Miss Annette, he's going to come get us one day. The Father above is going to say, Son, go get your bride. And as it was recorded in the book of Song of Solomon, and Solomon said, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. It's going to be something about like that, Brother Tim. The Lord's going to call us out of here. And bless God, what a great getting up morning that's going to be. Right now, we have heavy hearts over different things. And the Bible does teach us that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And I'm glad for that morning. I'm looking forward to that day that the Lord will call us home and we'll get to ever be with him. But anyway, I get started from 0 to 60. 60 in about 1.2 seconds. And forget to say, if you're here and you're a visitor, thank y'all for being with us, my friend. I don't know who y'all are, where you come from, but you're in the Lord's house. And bless God for being here with us. And if we've got other visitors here, so be it. Just make yourselves at church this morning. And Calvary, you show them the love that God put in our hearts. We'll read our scriptures responsibly here in chapter number 3 of the book of Genesis. And what I was going to say was I made a reference that whether you're ready or not, here he comes. You remember that? Ready or not, here I come. What was that phrase from? Anybody know that? Ready or not, here I come. What was it? Say it again. Hide and seek. You're going to see the first and the original game of hide and seek as ever recorded in the world. Brother Tim, we thought we invented that when we were little. Go hide your eyes, and I'm going to go hide somewhere, and you're going to come find me. And then you count to 10 or whatever, and ready or not, here I come. Well, Brother Robbie, it's going to be ready or not, here he comes one of these days. But I want you to understand something, that we're the sinners, and he is the Savior. The Bible said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. There's some songs, and I'm not downgrading Christian radio, Mary Doris. Y'all play these songs probably. But there are songs written about that I kept on searching. I kept on searching. And I kept on searching till I found the King of Kings. And then we sing the songs up here that how about how that they searched all over heaven to find a Savior that could save a poor lost soul like me. Brother Kenny, they didn't search over heaven. Bless God, the Bible declares that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was. It's always been the devil. If you say that they had to search heaven to find a Savior, then what you're acknowledging to it is that the devil one-upped God, that the devil got one over on him. No, he didn't. God has always had a plan, and that plan was always inclusive of the Savior, of Jesus Christ. He is that lamb, Brother Danny, that was slain before the foundation. Well, God had a plan to redeem fallen man. And I want you to understand that this is the original case of hide and go seek. Here it is. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll pick up the reading in verse number 8. The Bible said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who toldest thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Brother Kenny Anderson, ask God to bless us, my friend, if you will.
Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord God, again this morning, Lord God, bless our pastor, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for the reading of thy word. Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you take it now. Lord God, apply it to our heart and our life, Father, Lord, and I pray, God, that there be one here today, Lord God, that's lost without thee. Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you, through the Holy Spirit of God, might draw that soul down this old-fashioned altar, Lord, and there they find Jesus real in their soul. Lord, we pray, Lord God, just bless and touch every request, Lord, we ask humbly in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. As you're being seated this morning in chapter number 3, in the first few verses there, especially in verse number 1 of that third chapter, you're going to find the devil debating God's word. And let me say this to you real quickly, just for the sake of introduction. It's not really the measure, it's something God put on my heart. Let me say, don't have any conversation with Satan. Just stay away from the unfruitful works of darkness. Try not to even give him an inclination that you want to have a discussion with him. Because right now, you cannot reason with a liar. Okay, I can't stand liars. Somebody lies to me to my face, they'll lie behind my back. If they lie behind my back, Brother Danny, they'll lie to my face. But in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, you'll see a great debate taking place. And that's the devil himself disputing and debating God's word. And let me tell you, when you look at that passage of Scripture, Eve was not told not to handle the fruit. You get a hold of that book and you read it. It doesn't say she can't touch that fruit, Brother Tam. It doesn't say that she can't get over there and look at the fruit or examine the fruit. But let me tell you, my friends, it's whenever you go against God's word and you do what God said not to do, that thing gonna become a problem for you really quickly. And every one of us has done it because we're all sinners. If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't need a Savior. Brother Kenny, when you start handling the fruit and you start looking at the fruit itself, it's going to become temptuous unto you, Brother Tam, because the Bible said that there's three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And no doubt she's got that fruit, brother, and now she's starting to look at it, and it looks pretty. Let me tell you what, sin always looks pretty. Sin always has an allure to it. It'll always draw you to it. I preached a message here a long time ago, there are certain traps that you just put where the animal that you're trying to trap would go. You hide it under the leaves, and that's a leg trap. And whatever, if that's the way you keep going, you'll get in that trap. But there are some that has some kind of an attractant. That's the apple in the back of the rabbit gum. And once that rabbit goes in there to get that apple, and that door goes shut because it hit the trigger, there ain't nobody getting, that rabbit's not getting out there until somebody lets it out. And that's the way that apple was unto Eve. When that thing looked so pretty, it was an attractant. And sin is attractive, Brother Troy, and if you keep going toward that, and then you start taking it into your possession, and you start manipulating it, and you start contemplating maybe how good that it would be, or how pleasant that this thing might turn out, I'm telling you, my friends, if you start going that way, you're asking for yourself a world of hurt, and you're asking for some problems. That would have been in verse number 1. I want to read that because the Bible said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Let me just say, that little serpent, that little booger, he's always looking for God's, he's always looking to turn around God's word. And then it said in verse number 2 that the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So you don't just see the devil debating or disputing, but then you start seeing him distort the word of God, because in verse number 5 it said, the Lord doeth know that in the days that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as the gods, knowing good and evil. Let me tell you, the devil is a deceiver, my friends, and if you take that fruit into your hand, and Eve said that God said don't touch it, the Lord said don't eat it, but it was Eve that said don't, he told me not even to touch it, God said don't eat it. Let me tell you, stay away from sin, my friend, because it's got no good consequence that's ever going to come out of it. There's no good in it. There's no benefit in it. Don't listen to the devil and his lies and deceit, because when you start doing that, you're going to find yourself like it were in verses number 6 and 7. Because in 6 and 7, the Bible said that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and to the tree, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave to her husband to eat. And then look what it said, and their eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I want you to see something in Proverbs chapter number 6 and then verse number 27 and 28. You think you can do it, and you think you're more powerful. You think you've got some super spiritual power over a sin. My friend, you don't live that close. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a preacher, a pastor, a deacon, a lay Sunday school teacher, a superintendent, Brother Dane, we don't have that kind of power in ourselves. Once we go that route, it's going to bite us. The Bible talks about the adder's bite or the snake's bite. I'm telling you what, that venomous beast will latch into you. And when the Satan latches into you, there's a price to be paid for that. It's going to cost you. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter number 26. I said 27. Chapter number 6 of the book of Proverbs. And then we'll get to verses number 27 and 28. Here's what it says in these scriptures. It said, can a man take a fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? If you say, what's that all about, preacher? Can you play with sin and not be affected? Let me ask you this, brother, you're just here visiting. Would you get yourself a skunk and play with that little thing? It's so cute and it's so black. It's got that pretty little white stripe that goes right down its back. And it's so cuddly and it's so precious. You go ahead and play with that thing, but I guarantee you this, when you get through playing with that, you're going to have the stench of a skunk on you. And when that stench gets on you, you're going to have a problem, Brother Kenny. For one, my wife ain't going to let me in the house if I come in with the stench of a skunk on me. She's going to make me do something. It's going to change everything. Well, let me tell you, the stench of sin gets on your life and it stains you, Brother Paul. It's going to show up. It's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect your dear wife. And next thing you know, it's affected the whole household. And I'm telling you, sin has a price. And it's going to be met and it's going to be dealt with.
Yes.
You can't play with it and think that at the end of the day, it's not going to harm you. It's not going to hurt you. It'll hurt your testimony. It won't just hurt your testimony. But it's got, it'll hurt your family, your wife, your marriage. It'll come in and it'll show up inside the church house because this church house is made up of families. It'll show up again if you keep on messing with it. You say, what's all this about? It's about sin. I'll show you some things here in just a few minutes as we get that way and we go that way. Let's just go over to the New Testament. Go back over there to the book of John. Go with me to the book, and I'm sorry, go to the book of Luke to start with. For you visitors, they're used to my confusion. There's usually a method to the madness, though. The Bible just said, let all things be done decently and in order. It didn't say what order. I just let God lead. He just told us to go over to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. While you're finding your places there, there's three things to look at back over in that I just got through reading. That call that come from God in the cool of the day to Adam. Brother, that's a powerful call. I mean, God had made him and put him in that garden. And if you look, that the capital L, capital O, capital R, and a capital D, the Lord God called Adam out of the cool of the day as he was the voice of one walking in that garden. But brother, it was so much more than just a powerful call. It was very personal because he asked Adam. He come to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Where art thou? He come to you, Varun, and he wanted you to know where you were at. He didn't lose Adam, by the way. He knew where Adam was at the whole time. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was at. And that's kind of the way where I'm kind of leaning this morning. I want Troy to know where Troy's at. I want Brother Joe to know where Brother Joe's at. I want each one of us, preacher, I love you, but I want you to know where you're at in this great big economy of God, the great big scheme of things concerning God. I want you to know where you're at. I hope I'm right there at the foot of that cross. That's a good place to stay. But my friends, most of the time, Brother Tam, we don't stay right there. We might go by the way of the cross, Brother Kenny. We might get there once in a while, but seldom we stay at the foot of the cross. We're over yonder somewhere. We're down yonder and we're doing everything. Sometimes it's an abomination in the sight of God, what your very pastor does, the things I think and the things I say. And you say, well, you shouldn't do that. Bless God, I'm flesh and I'm robed in a carnal nature of man. But bless God, this robe is not saved. But Brother Tam, that inner man wins out every battle. I promise you this, Miss Karen, the devil has no power over me except that what God gives him. Greater is he that is in me, Brother Chad Spears, than he that is in the world. And we know who the prince and the power of this world is. That is none other than Satan himself. But he has no power over you. And bless God, you just got to go back by the way of the cross. We don't stay there. We should, but we don't. Brother Paul, I've left that cross out for a reason. Somebody's going to need it here just a little while from now. I'm over here in the book of Luke chapter number 19, and I told you a while ago that I wanted to say this, and I opened up mentioning Mary Doris about how the seeking was on God's part. If you go back to that scripture, it wasn't Adam running around the garden saying, what happened to God? What happened to God? And go tag Eve and say, Eve, what happened? Where's God at? What happened to God? No, it was God that entered the equation. It was God that said, Adam, where are you? But God, he comes seeking you, brother. lot of people are seeking, and there might be some merit to the thought that people are always looking. They're looking in a bottle. They're looking in drugs. They're looking into this. They're looking into that. They're always looking for something. But Brother Tim, what they're looking for is something for the flesh. They're not looking for something for the eternal. They're looking for something for the temporal. They're looking for something to satisfy them right here and now, as it were. And it was even quoted in by Brother Steve in our Sunday school hour. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But just as we moved out of summer into the autumn, the fall of the year, Brother Danny, my God, the seasons change. And it'll right quickly change over to winter. And that's the way sin is. It'll change. You'll think all of a sudden, man, this is fun. This is exciting. But then all of a sudden that season changes and it leaves you destitute, broken, lonely, barren, and it still leaves you hungry. But the Bible says in this 19th chapter of the book of St. Luke that it was God that come into the garden. It was God that called out and said, where are you? It was the Lord God Almighty looking for man. And bless God, that's what he's still doing. He is still seeking. He's still looking. He's still calling. He's still begging people to come to him. Miss Marlene in her testimony this morning said, I don't care what people think about me, but you need to trust him. Learn to trust him. Danny, honey, have you got a testimony or have you got a testimony? I look at you and what a testimony you are. Honey, I come down there when you had no hair. I saw you whenever the cancer was ravaging your body. But bless God, you're sitting here, honey, with a beautiful head of hair and how beautiful you are. And you're not the only testimony in here. Brother Danny's a testimony. Miss Wanda's a testimony. But ultimately, Brother Tim, every one of us that are saved by God's grace is a testimony of what God can do. Because we were all sinners. Some have an outward expression of that touch of God on their life that he delivered them from cancer. Miss Jane, you had to go through that battle with cancer. And Miss Ginger, you battled cancer. And I'm telling you, my friend, God is good, Brother Gary. Luke chapter number 19. We're looking at that story of Zacchaeus. It goes right into 9 and 10. You know the story. I'm not going to preach that. It's another message for another time. But Zacchaeus, being a man of short stature, climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Bible said he wanted to see the Lord. And the Lord was known, Jesus was known to be passing by that way. So he climbed up in the tree, going to see him. And then the Lord looked up in the tree and saw Zacchaeus. And when he saw him, he didn't just see Zacchaeus. He called him by name. Aren't you glad that he called you by name? I'm glad that he knows my name, and I'm glad that he can call me by name. And the Bible said that the Lord looked up in the tree in verse number 5 and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. We go right on down. And then verse number 9, the Bible said that Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Come to this house, for as much as he also was a son of Abraham. Now listen at verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad, Brother Tam, but we've got somebody that calls out in the cool of the day and says, where are you? Where you at with me? What's your situation, Brother Tim? And Brother Tim has to immediately acknowledge real quickly, bless God, that I'm right with you, Lord. I'm hand in hand with you. I'm yoked up with you. I'm confessed up. I'm prayed up. But brother, I'm telling you what, so many times we have to say, I've hid myself. I've got some things that I've done that I shouldn't have done, and I've kind of hid it. First case of hide and go seek. I've had some people in here. Some of them are here today and some of them are not here today. My wife will tell you, she don't know everybody talks to me, but she'll tell you some of them. You'll call me up and they will say, Pastor, I want to get your opinion on something. Right then and there, my ears go up, bells and whistles start going off, flags start waving, because if they want my opinion, brother, they're wanting something aside from this, because they could have went here already. And I've got some that's come to me and have asked me, Preacher, is it wrong to do this? And I say, what does the Bible say about it? And sometimes, Brother Robbie, it's just not explicit. It's just not spelled out in there. And it can be as much as buying a lottery ticket. And if you buy them, you go buy them. I'm letting the Holy Ghost get you on that one or deal with you on that one. I remember, Miss Jenny, whenever I come here, I thank you and Brother Keith, when I run a revival here, were y'all not here that few days back in 2007? Somebody was gone to a Redskins game or something. Was that y'all? And I remember Brother Feldman talking about some of you were gone here and some of you were gone there. And I believe that he mentioned, I don't
know how I knew that, but there were others that were going places. And Brother Feldman said, I don't never tell my people where to go and what to do. He said, I let the Holy Spirit do it. I let God do it. But some of them will say, well, it's not expressly written out in the Word of God. So what you've called is you're wanting me to weigh in on something that's not very clear in the Scriptures. But brother, let me ask you this, Brother Tim. Do you not already know the answer? I believe the Holy Spirit has told you the answer. You're just trying to get somebody else to circumvent God, to go against what God would say, to say, well, it's okay, go ahead and go do that. Bless God, if you have to ask somebody to do it or whether to not to do it, Brother Gary, you've got your answer. Just go with that. If you're saved, you've got your answer. Now, if you're lost, that may be another question. I may have to take some scriptures or get with you and show you what the Word of God says. But if you're already saved, the Holy Spirit of promises telling you what's right and wrong. You do not need me to give you a stamp of approval on it or try to circumvent what God's already told you in your heart. And you say, well, and I even had one that said, I know this doesn't look good, but I like doing it. And it's not spelled out in the Scripture. Now, wait just a minute. I said, say that again real slow and then listen to yourself. This man said, well, I know it don't look good, but it's not really written out in the Scripture. I said, say that again for the third time. He said, this doesn't look. I said, okay, you just answered your question because the Bible said to abstain from what? Not just evil, but the appearance of it. You just told me that it doesn't look good. If it doesn't look good, then you've already answered your own question. You ought to leave it alone. You don't need to come to me and ask me. But the Bible said that the Lord come to seek and to save that which was lost. And every one of us are sinners this morning. And I want you to think about this. Every single one of us know that those that will try to trick up our Savior, those that will ultimately try to take Him to the cross, those that would be worried about being seen in the presence of this one or that one. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus talked with sinners. He ate with sinners. He fed sinners. He played with sinners. He forgave sinners. He went to church with sinners. He comforted sinners. He loved sinners. He sat down with sinners. Bless God, he was a man that was accompanied with sinners. He was even crucified with sinners. He was with the two malefactors. He was crucified with them. He was numbered with the transgressors. Bless God, he lived with them. He loved with them. He died for them and with them, among them. And bless God, you're not going to do anything that the Christ, that the very Holy Son of God hadn't already been there and took care of. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Go into John, chapter number 3. We'll do a quick walk right here in the book of John, chapter number 3. Preacher, what kind of sinners does God save? All of them. Every single one of them. We'll start out real quick. When Adam and Eve messed up, how long did it take them to realize they had messed up? It was immediate. They took of the forbidden fruit. They went and hid themselves. How long does it take a man to come to the realization, Brother Joe, that he's a sinner? Sometimes he just needs to hear the preached word of God. And I'm telling you what, man, is there a reason the Bible said the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword? That thing will cut you coming and going. Yeah. It surely will. But in John chapter number 3, look beyond the most quoted verse in all of the Scripture. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What's the next verse say? Let's read along with us. It said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There again is Him coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And listen to this very next sad verse. The Bible says that he believeth on Him is not condemned. Bless God, that means, Brother Gary, you're under no condemnation. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 1, Brother Anthony, comes right into perfect play here. Because the Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Christ Jesus. So you're not condemned. Why? Because you're saved by God's grace. You love the Lord. He loves you. You're under that umbrella of grace. You can't sin beyond that grace that's able to cover that sin. Get a hold of that. You can't fall from grace to the point that you're lost again. The position of this church, position of this Bible, position of this pastor, Brother Brian, we believe and we preach eternal security for the believer. And bless God, grace is able to seal you into that day of redemption. Amen. Here's what it says. The Bible said that he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Is that not great? You ought to say amen right there then. Amen. If you're saved by God's grace, you can say amen, preacher. But the back part of that verse is kind of sobering. Because it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's condemnation on them that are lost. But bless God, Christ died for the sinner condemned. He died for that one, Brother Kenny. The same as whenever Adam and Eve sinned. He put it right in that verse I read, and that's the last verse that I read at the stoppage of the scriptures. Whenever I was reading my original text this morning, it said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let me tell you, it's always been Jesus, and it always will be. So Jesus, what kind of sinners did Jesus die for? He died for the condemned. If you'll go over to Luke chapter number 18, you don't have to turn there, but if you would, he died for the sinners that are confessing. Luke chapter number 18 says these words. We'll get there really quickly and just keep on trucking. The Bible said in chapter number 18 of the book of Luke, in verses number 13 and 14, the Bible said that the publican standing afar off would not as much as lift up his eyes. Speaking of the one that went into the temple, one was righteous and the other one too went. Two men went into the temple to pray, but the Pharisee stood up and boasted and bragged. But that poor publican, the old sinner that he was, he said, I ain't got nothing to boast of. And he said, standing afar off, so bless God, he'll stand up and he will die. And he did die for that condemned man, but he'll also do it. But you got to get to that point of confession, Brother Varun. He died for the condemned, but he died for the confessing. And keep going. Go to the two malefactors, one beside him on each side. He died for the condemned. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, I said that the wages of sin is death. Those men were condemned on the cross of Christ. Beside of him on the cross of Christ was two malefactors, and they were condemned. They were convicted, and those are the very ones that Christ died for. The convicted, the condemned, the confessors. He died for every one of them. He died for us. How beautiful is that? If you were to go over to the book of 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there. But Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. He died for the small and the great. He died for every single one of us. So I'm going back to our original text this morning, back in the book of Genesis. Going back to our little game of hide and seek. How well is it hidden? How well is it hidden? Well, preacher, you don't know about it. Okay. I said, I don't know about it. My wife don't know about it. Okay. Your wife don't know about it. Yeah. My husband sure doesn't know about it. Because if it did, it'd be the end of our marriage. Be sure. What was that? You can be sure that your sins will find you out. Now listen, it may be so deeply embedded. It may be so deeply ingrained into your lifestyle. It may be so far removed that you only go that way once in a blue moon, but it's still there. But you've hid it. Hidden well. What are we going to do then, Brother Gary? The Bible says a man that won't confess his sin is in a world of hurt with him. You know what sin does in our lives, Brother Tim? It breaks our communion with God. Did you not see it in the passage that I read? Do you not realize that in the cool of the day, that at an appointed time, God came right there and he met with his children? Brother Arch, he come there regularly. I believe they communed one with another. I mean, if you want to break fellowship with your Savior, Brother Varun, just go ahead and start entertaining sin, because all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in a game of hide and seek with God. Him seeking and you hiding. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But read on with me in that. But your sins, your transgressions has hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. 66 and 18, the book of Psalms says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Brother, ain't that amazing? That at that cool of the day, I'm talking about Robbie, probably earlier in the morning hours, I mean the cool of the day, here comes God talking with his crown jewel, the creation that he made. Here they are. Brother Tim, every day, I can't imagine the conversations that may have taken place aforetime between God and man. But there were no briars, there were no thistles, that was a perfect utopian environment. Eden was perfect in every wit and manner, everything, Brother Kenny.
Amen.
Here comes God every day, talks with his man. Can you imagine if I was Adam? Can you not imagine, brother? Because I enjoy getting in his presence now.
Yeah.
I do. I enjoy getting in the presence of God. I love it when he comes down and sups with us. I love it when we have one of those services. Bless God, that you just, the Lord just shows up. I love that, Miss Sam. I can imagine the giddiness and the excitement of Adam. He might have looked over at Eve and said, it's about time. Naked as a jaybird. But you had no sin, had no shame. I'm talking about just the way God created them. And now nudity has been promoted, and it's sin, and it is sin. But in that original day, they just walked with God. And brother, I can imagine the excitement. It's about that time that he's going to come and talk to us. But on that day, they had to hide. Wonder where they thought they could go in the garden. Damn, I wonder really. God put them there. Wonder where they thought that they could go. I'd say they probably went the same places we do, Brother Kenny. Try to get into some dark corners. Hide under some shade somewhere because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are... Probably tried to get... Probably as far... If they usually walked right... If God usually met them right here at this little crossroads... I'd say they were on the backside of Eden's Garden. Probably went way back there somewhere. Do you realize that's what happens in the local assembly? People get messed up and get tripped up in sin, Troy. And the next thing you know, they stop coming in here. Why? Because being anywhere in here is too close to here. And if you get up here, you may get close to that. And if you get close to that, you may then have to actually start doing some business. So what do they do, Brother Danny? They start skipping. Like an old Ford truck. I've always heard, if she ever starts missing, she's getting ready to quit on you. You ever heard that? I'm sorry, Fords. An old Chevrolet truck. Brother Tim, old Dodge. Yeah, Dodge. A Nissan even. If she starts missing, I had that when it used to run on about 3 cylinders. If that thing starts missing on you, Brother Tim, she's getting ready to quit. You'll find it sitting on the side of the road somewhere. Right? Well, people a lot of times are the same way. They don't want to come because this is where the communion of God is at. And Adam and Eve, no doubt in my mind, they said, come on, honey. He probably said, come on, honey. God will be passing by here. And look, he didn't have a watch. He probably looked, and he's looking at the sun and the setting of it. And it's about time that the Lord will come by here. Come on, honey, let's go. Can you imagine, Brother Tim, how rotten? I'm serious. How rotten that they must have felt, knowing that they have just hurt, very broken the very heart of Almighty God. You know it had to hurt them. It had to have crushed them to think that, man, we're naked. And I can imagine that voice when it come out. I don't believe it thundered, Adam, where are you? I don't believe it was that way, Brother Tim. I believe it was something. Adam, where art thou? Where are you? And he had to fess up. We've hid ourselves. Why? We were naked. Who told you that? And they've been a problem before now. What's going on? But see, God was all-knowing. God was wanting them to confess. I've left that cross up here for a reason. Brother Scott, come on up. Miss Debbie, honey, if you'll come back down. I've left that cross up there today. Like I said, if you've got in so much as got in the door, if you've got as so much as in the building today, you're close enough to have heard what I preached. We call this an altar. Abraham was known for digging wells and building altars. Don't drink the polluted dirt of this world. The Bible said that whenever Isaac come along and saw the wells that his forefathers had dug, that the Philistines had filled them up with dirt. The Bible said he redug those wells and called them by the same name that they were called aforetime. He didn't rebrand it and relabel it. He called them what they were before. The names of the wells remained the same. And they redug those wells. But that was the portion of the well. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 8, therefore with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. But the other thing that he was known for besides being a well driller or digger was being an altar builder. This up here, if you're not really familiar with Calvary, this is where people bring burdens. Burdens are lifted. This is where hearts are mended. This is where people talk to God. But if this was the intersection of that cool of the day spot where Adam and Eve come to talk to God and God just comes and speaks to them openly and freely, they talk about whatever that they want to talk about. They could talk openly to God. Why don't you do that now? You said, I'm not going to come up there. I'm still playing hide and go seek. I've got mine hid so well, even God don't know about it. I promise you, He knows. You said, well, it won't never be found out down here. It'll be found out over there. It'll be found out because we're all going to stand before Him as we stand all over this house today. If we were playing the game of hide and seek, you said it earlier and I said it earlier. What's the catchphrase before I come to get you? Ready or not? Let me just ask you this before Miss Debbie starts and Brother Scott gets a song. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because ready or not, He's coming back one day. So I ask you this. How well is it hidden? How deep is it buried? How is it with you? God's given me a message and I'm going to preach it. I've been praying about how to preach it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, it's on the perversions of sexual sins. I don't know how I'm going to do it if we take all the kids 13 and under or just let you be the guide, but it's going to cover everything from fornication to pornography, self-gratification. It's going to be an in-depth message, and God has burdened my heart to preach it because I know good and well that things can be hidden. I know things can be so buried that you think that nobody knows it. But you remember the message I preached about being hidden, and then I removed my jacket, and there it was exposed? Folks, we're already exposed before Almighty God. We are. We're open before Him. So as we sing, and as number 410, Near the Cross. Boy, that's a good choice of song, Brother Scott. That'd be a good place to bow this morning over here, Near the Cross. If you need something from Almighty God, this altar's open this morning.